Welcome to the Creative Pen Podcast. I'm Joanna Penn, thriller author and creative entrepreneur, bringing you interviews, inspiration, and information on writing, publishing options, and marketing ideas for your book. You can find the episode show notes, your free author blueprint, and lots more information at thecreativepen.com. And that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hello, creatives. I'm Joanna Penn, and this is episode number 432 of the podcast. And it is Friday, 24th of May, 2019, as I record this. Most of our boxes are now unpacked and the house is pretty shipshape, but I'm still tired. But happy that we are 90% in and pretty functional, although I still have to have my audio booth built, so that will happen. But today I'm talking to Frances Caballo about Pinterest and Instagram for writers. Now, I'm using both sites much more for my fiction brand, JF Pen, and I use Twitter for the Creative Pen, and of course I use Facebook ads and pages like everyone does. So I ask some specific questions about my own situation as I think about these things. And it's always good to discuss ideas over time. I've been on social media for 10 years now. So really good to think about how we use things and if we can, you know, things change all the time. So that is coming up and I hope you find it useful. In my personal update, as I said, it's still a little bit mad, but today was really my first day back working properly after almost a month of house project things. And it always takes longer than you think. So I'm really happy to be back into it. I did clear the decks. I worked particularly hard before we finalized on the house and everything. But I have a backlog of work to do. And I have actually now edited, I hand edit my second draft, I suppose, but after I print out my first draft, I hand edit the full draft. And so I did 5 chapters of that today. I'm so pleased to get back into it, and always good when you come back to a book after a number of weeks and think, oh, do you know what? It's not that bad. So I'm very happy about that. And once I get my sound booth, which will happen in the next week, I can start recording audiobooks again. And as I've talked about, I've got the audio course that I want to do on podcasting and audiobooks. So I've been learning so much about this stuff. I feel a need to organize it into something where I can, and teaching other people really just helps you learn. So I have all those things going on and lots of creative projects on the go. So yeah, my personal update this week is I guess I have to clear the decks and make sure I get things done in the right order. I use Things app for all the things I need to do. And that includes really big stuff like record Map of Shadows audiobook, which is quite a significant piece of work, to, update the link on this page of my website, which is tiny. And I had put all of the to-dos to appear on today, which is the Friday, the 24th or something of May. And I hadn't realized how many. And when I opened things this morning, there was something like 96 to-dos. So now I'm going through and rescheduling those onto other days because I have to make sure I have a block of asset creation and then put some of these other things into other times. And some of them I just delete, because some things you think, oh yeah, I totally need to do that. And then you realize later that you have just plenty of other things that are more important. So I just thought I'd mention a few ways that I'm managing my time. It doesn't get any easier when you do this full time. I think that would probably be my biggest lesson learnt. You think that when you go full time, you're going to have more time. But actually, this is a day job as much as any other day job. And yes, you spend time writing, but you also have to spend the time doing all the other things, which is joy. I'm not complaining. Joy all the time. but certainly right now I'm looking at my list and going, uh-huh, you really think you're going to do all that? So yeah, hopefully that helps you. In terms of useful stuff, I have noticed that there is a lot of unhappiness with MailChimp right now because they have announced a new pricing structure that goes, I don't know the exact details, I've just seen a lot of unhappiness with MailChimp. So I just wanted to mention, if you need a new mailing list provider, I personally use and recommend ConvertKit, and I have a tutorial that you can go check out, a free tutorial. So you can go to thecreativepen.com/author website, and there are three tutorials on that page, and it is the third tutorial, which is how to use ConvertKit to set up your email list. So I thought I'd mention that in case you use MailChimp and you're thinking of switching. So thanks for all your emails and tweets this week. Trish Heinrich says, your personal update hit home this week. I'm going through a soft relaunch of my series and I'm surprised at how stressed and emotional it has been for me. Hearing your encouragement gave me a much needed breath of calm air. I'm glad, Trish, that's helped. And yeah, it is a roller coaster. It really is. It's never a flat line, you know, which is good because, of course, if it's a flat line, you're probably dead. So there will always be ups and downs. Angeline Trevenna, thank you, Angeline, sent me a lovely picture of a graveyard in Staffordshire. She says, I went for a long walk today and downloaded some of the podcasts to listen to in a graveyard. Always lovely to meet another Taffophile. Melissa Green says, is talking about the open AI I talked about last week, talktotransformer.com. Great to hear you're trying it out. Melissa said, Talk to Transformer is nice to play with. It comes up with what could possibly fit your book. I had mentioned some time ago on Twitter about AI and Google helping you brainstorm a novel. This is close to what my vision of AI and creativity could be. I hope they release the full version. I'm having a blast with it. And I'm the same. I'm, as you know, glass half full around technology. So yeah, really interesting. That's at talktotransformer.com if you didn't listen to my futurist update from last week. And finally, Jacqueline V. Rowe says, though she doesn't know it, although I do now, the Creative Pen spent time with me as I got through today's launch task list. This is book three. I'm learning these are not my children, as Joanna says, but my little workers going off to make money for me. Grateful for the advice. And yes, I've said this before, and I'll just remind everyone, I hear so often from authors, you know, oh, having a book baby, and, you know, a book is like your baby. And it's like, yeah, the metaphor works up to three or four. But when you have 28 books, like I have, or 400 books, like people like Christine Catherine Rush, Dean Wesley Smith, Kevin J. Anderson, these are writers who have hundreds of books. And you don't think about your, if you think about your book as your baby, you're going to be protecting it and not exploiting it for money. But if you think about your books as your workers, as your employees, they will go out and make money for you. Of course, the art is in the process of creation, and then the business is getting them to go work for you. So fantastic. So today's show is sponsored by Draft to Digital, and I will play a word from the lovely Kevin Tomlinson in a minute. This corporate sponsorship pays for the hosting, transcription and editing, but my time in creating the show is sponsored by my patrons. Thanks to everyone supporting the show on Patreon. Thanks to new patrons, Perry Lai, Matthias Muller-Cray and Ava Sinclair. As ever, I really appreciate your support on Patreon. Like the tweets and emails, it demonstrates you enjoy the show and want it to continue. And you can support the show with just a couple of dollars a month or a couple of coffees a month if you're feeling generous, and you get the extra monthly Q&A audio, which I have to record in the next week because it's the end of May at the end of the week. So I will be sending that out this week. You can support the show at patreon.com, patreon.com/thecreativepen. Right, here's a word from Draft to Digital, and then we'll be on with the interview.
Hi, this is Kevin Tomlinson with Draft to Digital, bringing you D2D Smart Author Tip number 8. Libraries. Did you know that public libraries in the U.S. alone get around 1.5 billion visits per year? We've spent a lot of time building and growing our library distribution because we really believe libraries are a big deal. Greater discoverability, good word of mouth, higher potential royalties, there's a lot to love. Plus, you know, good karma. D2D can get your books into more than 40,000 libraries in 70 plus countries worldwide. And all it takes is checking a couple of boxes. Start reaching a bigger audience now. Convert your manuscript, distribute it online, and get support the whole way at drafttodigital.com/pen. Sign up now and get a free author marketing guide, drafttodigital.com/pen. Happy writing.
Today, I'm here with Frances Caballo. Hi, Frances.
Hi, Joanna.
It's been ages. We'll get into that in a minute. I know, just for many years. But just for an introduction for anyone who doesn't know you, Frances is the author of Social Media Just for Writers, as well as Avoid Social Media Time Suck, which is super important, and other books on blogging and social media. She provides coaching and social media management for writers. So, Frances, it was 2014 when you came on the show talking about social media. And as we just said, I mean, it feels like so much has changed, but it also feels like not much has changed because we're still talking about social media. So what do you think has changed since 2014? Like in the last 5 years, what's the shift in the social media environment?
Right. Well, the interest in Facebook has dropped, you know, about 5 percentage points. I have friends who have dropped Facebook for Instagram. And so that's happened. I don't use my Facebook page account very much anymore. I am going to be focusing more on Instagram. So I still use Twitter. I think Twitter is still important for authors. It's a great news site, but it's also a great way to connect with colleagues who write in your same genre and to help authors in your genre, you know, share their posts, share their books, and meet readers. There are a lot of readers, a lot of librarians on Twitter. So Twitter is like among the top six most popular social media networks, but we don't need to forget about it. And it is going through some revamping. So that's good. And now you can do 280 characters, whereas 5 years ago you could only use 140 characters. But it's better not to use the 280 characters because text-heavy posts don't really work on Twitter. On Facebook, even though, you know, Facebook is started out as a pretty much a text-only, you know, app, just like Twitter did, you should never post anything to Facebook without an image or a video. Now, with the exception that sometimes text-only posts do work on Facebook. Like on my Facebook profile, I wrote a pretty text-heavy post about a German Shepherd dog that came after me barking and snarling. And so I wrote about that experience on Facebook, and I got huge engagement, right? But that's sort of the exception. So what happens on social media in general, and we're going to exclude Instagram and Pinterest from this conversation, right? Just for this one point, is that you have to use images. Images is what draws, it's what attracts the eye. Images, the brain can process images 60,000 times faster than text, and people remember text in images better than they remember what's said in a text post. So images are really important. And on a blog post, they're really important. You have to have at least one image for every blog post. Multiple images are good on a blog post, provided that they're not all stock images. So there's that. Back in 2010, I was taking a lot of social media workshops from this one person. I forget her name now. And so she said, you should always allocate one social media as your fun site. And so for a long time, Pinterest was my fun site. And then that became more important for my business. So then I made Instagram my fun count account. Mm. Well, now I'm revamping my Instagram account. In fact, it's filled mostly with Black Labs. So I've given my Black Lab an Instagram account. And I just started her account on Friday. And she already has, I think, almost 50 followers. So she's she's doing really well. So, but I'm always taking social media courses, even though I specialize in social media and I read a lot of social media posts. And I realize I'm not giving you any opportunity to ask any questions, Joanna. But I like to take courses. And so I've signed up for two courses. One is through Social Media Examiner and it's through Society. And I'm taking a course from Kat Caroy. And she's British and she's an Instagram teacher. And so what she focuses on is finding on Instagram is your soul brand essence and finding what your brand colors are and sticking to those colors on Instagram. So that's why my dog now has its own Instagram account, because I'll be focusing on my brand colors. Mm. So, all right. Well,
so yeah, we will be circling back on Instagram and images. But just sticking with what's changed. So I think your point about continuing to learn is also important, because as we know, these sites change all the time. Like they change right. The functions, they change what's available. But just going back to Facebook, because this is really interesting. And what I just wondered what your thoughts were on why Facebook is dropping. So when we think back to, so you and I remember, oh God, now the name's gone, you know, the site that everyone used, MySpace before Facebook, right? Yeah. That kind of was taken over, you know, everyone did that. And then it was Facebook and MySpace went back to being very niche. So is Facebook, is that just the natural trajectory of a social media site? But, and then of course, Facebook might have seen that coming because they bought Instagram. So is it a natural progression, or is it a backlash against the privacy issues and the big tech issues that Facebook is facing? Because of course, authors use Facebook for advertising. It's very important to a lot of businesses. So what are your thoughts on like what's happening with Facebook?
Well, I think one of the things was the way the Russians were able to affect the outcome of the election of Donald Trump in this country, and how sites were able to use custom audiences that were really horrible in controlling the advertising for that election. I think that had a lot to do with the backlash against Facebook. They used to have terrible custom audiences, like, you know, Jew haters. It's a terrible custom audience to have for advertising on Facebook. And so Facebook has gotten rid of a lot of those custom audiences and has really worked on that. Facebook, the other thing against Facebook is its algorithm, especially for businesses. And authors may not see themselves as businesses, but if you have a Facebook author page, you have a Facebook business page. And so the algorithm for business pages is such that only 2% of what you post on your Facebook business page will actually penetrate the newsfeed, unless you buy advertising. So Facebook has to monetize itself. The way it monetizes itself is through advertising. So if you want to do well on your Facebook author page, which is a Facebook business page, you have to advertise. And I think people are upset about that. I mean, people like Toyota and Mercedes, I mean, big brands, that's just part of their marketing budgets. With a lot of, especially indie authors, it's difficult to do. Now, Mark Dawson has a fabulous Facebook advertising course, and I recommend that all authors take his course. But you can't do much with a Facebook author page unless you advertise and unless you know how to use Facebook advertising well. Mm-hmm. So that's difficult. So I used to tell authors, I used to say that every author had to have a Facebook business page. Now I don't.
That's interesting. So, and then just a little question about new sites, because and I have not used Snapchat, now called Snap, and I have not used TikTok, which I only really heard about when I was in London last, and the whole underground was plastered with signs for TikTok. And then I've heard that it is a music video or something like that. Anyway, I have not tried either of these things. So, you know, and many authors do not want to get on another social media site. So what are your thoughts on the new emerging sites?
Well, Snap is really popular among the youth and millennials. The author of Wool, I think it's Hugh Howey, he was able to increase his emailing list by galvanizing this following on Snap by adding 11,000 people to his email account. So if you're a YA author and you want to galvanize your readers on Snap, then that's a site to use, but to know how to use it well, because your posts disappear once people read them. And that was my issue with Instagram stories. I didn't think they were a viable issue for authors, because you work on creating an Instagram story and then it vanishes within 24 hours. But now you can archive them. Mm. So now I like Instagram stories. So TikTok, I just looked at this morning, and it's videos and it's music and it's all young adults. So I didn't see anything else. So that would be a place for YA authors. Mm. But I'm not yet sure how they could use it, but they could definitely use Snap. I mean, Hugh Howey is great at using social media, but he's great at using Snap also.
How did you find out about Hugh and Snap? Because I haven't seen that. Is that on his blog or?
It was on his blog years ago.
Oh, okay.
Maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah. Ah, right. So it's not okay. Well, I'll see if I can link to that in the show notes. Okay. So, well, let's circle back on Instagram, because I'm like you. I, you know, not really used Facebook, you know, on my personal side for years, mainly because my mum's there, my mother-in-law is there. It's kind of a thing where, you know, I'm not necessarily sharing so much. So I've started using Instagram and I really love it too. And kind of like you, I've started to go, oh, maybe I should be using it more like a business. But how do I do that? So tell us, if people have an Instagram account and they have done what you've done, like here's a few personal things, how have you been revamping Instagram for business use?
Well, I haven't yet, but I'm going to. But I do manage accounts for other people, and what I do is I create Instagram stories. There is if you're going to be serious about using Instagram for business, you have to use Instagram stories. They are they don't appear in the newsfeed. They appear on top of the newsfeed, and they are the circles. And what you can do is you can highlight an Instagram story and it stays right beneath your bio. And so I recommend that you use Instagram stories. They're just really powerful.
Give us an example. What is an Instagram story? So if people don't know.
Right. So some people think it's a story and you have to do a lot of writing, because we think of stories as writers, right? But it's not. It's you can use Canva. Canva has a template for Instagram stories. You can use multiple pages in your Instagram story, but I don't recommend that you do that, because the first page has to pass and then the second one comes up, and people usually don't wait that long. So it's just an image with text on it, but you want to have the text low enough so it doesn't get caught up in the Instagram type. And you could say, you know, this book is on sale for 2 days, or this book is free now. Come to my website. You can do an Instagram story about, this is my favorite place to walk, this is my favorite place to write. And they are, whereas Instagram images are these block images, these square images, Instagram stories are the length of your smartphone. And so you have more visibility, more, a bigger place to write.
So I like to using the images. I understand that. I'm doing that quite well now, sharing my images. I'm doing some hashtags, but stories, I really haven't got the hang of. I don't really know what is a story and what is an image on the page. So what, and also I think we don't want to always be saying, here's my book. Right. So give us some ideas of what are the other things that we put in a story. If we have a, you know, we're just living normal life, I don't really have as much of a story to tell today. You know, so what do we put there?
But it doesn't have to be this big thing. It could be your husband taking a picture of you writing. It could be somebody taking a picture of you riding your bike through Bath. It could be, and the story is simply that, you know, I'm working on my next book, or this is where I like to ride my bike. Just stories. So they're just images about your life or about other authors. You may be holding a book and reading it, and it's by another author, and you could say, I love this book by. And so it's just a larger image that gets more visibility. It could also be a video. So it can be it doesn't have to be a static image. It can be it can be a video. And they're important because they get greater visibility. People don't have to thumb through their newsfeed to see them. They'll see them at the top, at the top of the newsfeed. So you just have greater visibility. So I'd save them for things that you really want to get out there.
Okay. So I think still that we haven't really tackled the big thing in the room, which people wonder how social media sells books. And Instagram feels even harder. So Twitter, when I share a tweet, I can put a direct link to a bookstore on Twitter, and people, I can like, here's me with my new book, and here's the buy link. But on Instagram, you can't even put a link in the image or the text. So how do we go from doing a nice image and a story to actually someone being able to buy the book?
Right. So you change the link in your bio. So it may be at first. So on your bio, it may say thecreativepen.com, or it could be jfpen.com. But if it's for a specific book, you would say jfpen.com/ and the name of a book. And then so you would say, go to my bio and download.
Okay. And you only ever get one link. So I've been using Linktree, which is you can put multiple links. It's premium. So you pay like $6 a month, I think. And it pops up and it has multiple links on. And of course I'm at JF Penn Author on Instagram. So people can go and see Linktree. That's something I use for those multiple links. But I wondered, I mean, probably the other thing that stops me with Instagram is I don't know how to schedule it. So I've heard of some things that people are using, but do you know of any good scheduling tools for Instagram that would make it easier for me? Because I don't like to sit on social media all the time. So scheduling tools for Instagram.
You could use Buffer. You could use Later. I like Later. You could also use Hootsuite. And I think there's Schedulegram.
Okay. You can use Buffer, because I have Buffer. Maybe I just haven't looked at it properly.
You have to have a paid account.
Yeah. Buffer. Yeah. Okay. So, but you can, because at one point you couldn't schedule things, I think, on Instagram, I think when it first came out. So if we're going to schedule, like you talked there about a color palette. Any other tips on sort of how you curate your account?
It doesn't have to be all about you. It could be author quotes. It could be writing quotes. It could be, I always like, well, my philosophy about social media is that, for example, I don't have competitors on social media. I have colleagues. So Rachel Thompson does what I do. And She includes me on her blog. I include her on my blog. I promote her events. I promote her chats. She invites me onto her chats. So we do the same thing for the same demographic, but we're colleagues. I refer people to her. She refers people to me. So it's sort of a philosophy. Don't look at social media as you're up against your competition. You have all these colleagues on social media. And that's the beauty about social media, I think. And at least that's my perspective about social media. I think about it in terms of colleagues.
Mm. I think the same thing. I mean, it's always like the co-opetition is what I've always said, the cooperating with your so-called competition. And on Instagram, see on Twitter, again, I just say from, you know, at Caballo right. underscore Francis, because I know your handle on Twitter. On Instagram, we tag people who we want to tag, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And on Instagram, you can use up to 30 hashtags. You should use at least 11 because hashtags are keywords. And the more keywords you have, then the more likely people will find you. And there's a trick to adding more hashtags if you want to. And that's to put an ampersand in front of the second to the last hashtag. And then you can add more hashtags.
Ooh, little so trick there.
Yeah. So for my clients, you know, I try to use a minimum of 25 hashtags.
Okay. So how do we find those hashtags?
You can, sometimes what I've done is I've gone to my browser and I'll say, one of my clients is a psychologist, right? And who's writing a book. And so if it's about depression, I will look up hashtags on Instagram for depression. Or you can type in depression on the search bar on Instagram and then look at posts and see what they're using. And if you have an Instagram business account, which you can only have if you have a Facebook business account, then you can see which hashtags are performing well and which aren't. And then you can get rid of the hashtags that aren't performing well and keep the ones that are performing well.
Yeah, so that's an interesting thing because I've seen some people say you should go back into your account and say delete some posts, change up the hashtags, that type of thing. So, which seems to me a lot of work.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, so don't bother with that.
I wouldn't.
What about reusing photos? So because it's a feed,
yeah.
So you could pick up a photo that you had a year ago and then repost it.
Yeah. I would look at your analytics and see which photos have done well in the past and then reuse those, definitely.
Because that's the other thing. I mean, I take a lot of photos, but still there are some that I'd like. If I'm talking about, I have a sale on a book that features, you know, Rome, I want to go back and find my Rome pictures and kind of post some again.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's cool. All right. Just one more thing on images. I think like it's fine when you're using your own images, but what about, like you mentioned, Canva has a template. Right. How do we know that we can use an image? I think there's a misunderstanding of images on the internet. What about intellectual property around images? How do people know that they can use an image if it's not their own?
Right. Well, when I said template on Instagram, I meant that they have the template for the correct size of a, but they also have canned images, and Canva will tell you if they're free or if they're not free. You can also buy images on Canva. I subscribe to a service called FreePick, and it's, I don't know, $60 a year. And some of the images are pretty goofy and I would never use them, but some of them are really nice. So I do use the nice ones. I don't use the ones that scream stock photo, stock photo, stock photo. But what I don't do is download images from Pinterest because those have been taken by people. But I do use photos that I get from my service, and I do use photos that I can buy on Canva. So
Yeah, actually, just on Canva, I think they've just introduced an easy button that helps you resize everything. Because this is the problem with social media, right? Twitter has right. one size, Facebook has another size, Instagram has two different sizes. I mean, it's ridiculous. But I think there's now an easy button. I think it's in their premium section that can resize. I just thought I'd mention that to people because it's very annoying. Okay, so yes, watch out for intellectual property on images. So you mentioned Pinterest, and I wanted to talk about Pinterest particularly. You have a little book on Pinterest, which people can get from your website. So what are the differences between Instagram and Pinterest?
That's an excellent question. So Pinterest versus our discussion 5 years ago or 4 years ago, whatever it was, you can now use hashtags. And so it's important to use hashtags on your images. On Instagram doesn't have pin boards, virtual pin boards. Pinterest has virtual pin boards. So you can develop pin boards on Pinterest around the book you're writing, the books you have written, the books you plan to write, favorite places to go to, certain social media accounts, great bookstores, great libraries, I mean, author quotes. So at first it was Black Labs. I have a Black Lab one. So at first I was using Pinterest as my fun account. And so I really built it up with social media pin boards, with my blog pin board, and author quotes and bookstores and book. And then went on Barcelona and hair styles, you know, that kind of thing. But what I only use Pinterest now to drive traffic to my website. And so with every Monday blog post, because my Monday blog posts are about social media in some way, I always create the top image, which is for social media. And then at the bottom, I put a Pinterest graphic. And so then I used to be pin an image. Now I like an image to my pin board on Pinterest for my blog. And then on Fridays, I do a roundup of the week's best posts. And on that one, I do a quote of the week and I create a Pinterest graphic with an author quote. And then I like that image and I like it onto my pin board on author quotes. So Pinterest, I think Twitter is the number one referral source to my website. Pinterest is the number two referral site to my website. So I use it for website traffic.
So this is interesting to me because how I use Pinterest very much is for images with no text on, and the same with Instagram. And what I'm getting the sense from you is that for marketing purposes, adding text onto the image to get traffic is really important, because on Pinterest, you might not see any other text. You might only see the image, right? So, so what are we still having image dominance or with a quote, or are we just having a quote on a plain background?
On Pinterest?
Yes.
Well, you see a lot of images without quotes on them. My images always have quotes on them. So Fridays, it's author quotes. Mondays, it's the topic quote, topic headline or something. Mm. So, but you see both on Pinterest. I have a lot of, well, I look for the fun side of my Pinterest account is about dogs. So I look for quotes with dogs in them. And then what I pin to Pinterest always has writing on it. But as I look at Pinterest, there are a lot of images without any writing on it. So you can do it both ways. I don't think there's a correct way to do it.
Mm. Yeah. So, and it's interesting because I've started much more clicking through. What I like about Pinterest as opposed to Instagram is I will go on Pinterest, find something I like and click through to read the website. So this to me seems why Pinterest would be better at traffic generation, because I can actually click it. So I've got a new website since we talked last called Books and Travel.
Oh, that's right. I know about that.
Yeah. So booksandtravel.page, in case anyone's interested. interested. But there I'm going in and pinning all the pictures, and people will hopefully find them and like and click through to my website. Now it's brand new, so I don't really have any data yet, but I'm kind of struggling with Instagram. But my feeling is that Instagram is better for brand, you know, awareness, yeah. Whereas Pinterest might be better for traffic.
Exactly. The founders of Pinterest say that it's not a social media app, it's a browser.
Ah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Mm. So, yeah, because I use it for research. So I might go in there and say, I wanted to find that the place where they did the avatar, you know, it's a place in China. It's a national park with these amazing landscape. And I went in and just typed, you know, China National Park avatar and got all the images that I wanted to look at and write about in my novel. So, yeah, I used it as a browser.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, fantastic. So that definitely gives me a clue. So the other thing I'd heard about Pinterest is that from Social Media Examiner, which is a great site, that Pinterest drives purchases more than other social media.
It does.
So should we have prices on there or use it in a business? There is a business Pinterest, isn't there, where you can put prices and things?
Everyone should have a Pinterest business account, because every author should, because then you get free analytics with your business account and you can put prices on your images.
Yeah. See, I still have a personal Pinterest account. I haven't gone the business route. Then this is what's so interesting. And people listening, you know, I've been doing this for, you and I have known each other online for 10 years, I think, since, you know, Twitter back in the day. I think that's how we met originally. And it feels like, you know, I still haven't got a handle on everything. And I know there are people listening who feel quite overwhelmed with all of this. So this is your other superpower, your book, Avoid Social Media Time Suck. So now we've done lots of technical things. Tell us, how do we avoid social media time suck with all of this going on?
Well, it's really easy. The first step is to know who your reading demographic is. So if it's YA, you know that they're most likely not going to be on Facebook. So don't bother with a Facebook author page and just keep it personal, and that's fine. Definitely use Instagram. If you're brave, use Snap. Supposedly, YA readers are on Twitter. I have a hard time believing that, but they might be. So, but definitely use Instagram. And if you are a romance author, you know, you have to be on Facebook. And I would say you have to be on Pinterest and Instagram. So, but what I'm saying is don't use everything. Don't use Facebook, Snap, LinkedIn. Google Plus doesn't exist anymore. I mean, just don't use everything. Focus and start with one account or one application that you know that your reading demographic is on, and learn it. And then maybe add a second one. And then just stick to those two. You don't have to be on everything. It's that you don't have time in the day to be on everything, and you don't have the resources to pay someone to be on everything. And so even I don't focus on everything. I only focus on certain social media brands. So don't be on everything. And then the next step is to know that, you know, 80% should not be about you. 20% can be about you. And to use a scheduling application, whether it's Hootsuite or it's Buffer or it's Social Oomph or whatever you choose, use it. You should probably get the paid account. I think with Buffer, it's $10 a month. It's not very much. So schedule everything in the morning. And then you can just walk away from it. Spend like 15 minutes scheduling. And then go back to your writing, go back to your day job, go back to walking your dog, whatever you do, do that. And then what I do is at the end of the day, I'll go back and I'll look at what's happening on social media, because social media is social. So you can't just post things and then never interact with anybody. You won't get anywhere. So interact with people, answer questions, ask questions, follow people in your niche or in your genre that you look up to. Go to Facebook, comment on other people's stuff, retweet other people's stuff. Look at Instagram, like things, share things, comment. My arms are really going now.
Be sociable. I mean, and again, this is, I think my tip would be, you need to time block this.
Yes.
So for example, what you could say is on a, you know, a Sunday afternoon, you fancy doing some images, or you schedule like 2 hours, I'm going to get all my images together, and then for the whole month. And then you could do even 15 minutes a day checking and responding, right?
Right. And I always like Joanna's term, which is social karma. It always comes back to you. I mean, and the thing with social media is it's important to be authentic and to retweet, reshare, leave comments on Instagram, because people thought that all you had to do well on Instagram was post images and use hashtags. Well, no, you need to do more than that. And you need to do Instagram stories, but you also need to go through your newsfeed, like and leave comments and follow other people. So anyways,
yeah,
people...
And the other thing I was going to say is make sure, and we're not doing all of this just, I mean, we're talking about a business perspective here, selling books.
Right.
So we're not just doing this for no reason. We have a good bio that goes to a good author website. Like, we need the functionality in place for it to actually achieve something. So,
right.
Or email sign up list or something. There's no point having 100 million followers if you're not achieving your goals with it.
Right. And the other thing about Instagram is that your URL or your website link doesn't have to be static. Change mm-hmm. it with the different goals that you have each day on Instagram. If you're trying to sell something or you're trying to give something away, then just say, go to the link and have a different URL. So change it up.
That's a good tip, actually, because again, you kind of think like once you've set it up, that's it, but you can actually change it up. Okay,
yeah.
Well, look, I feel like we've covered lots of different things, but you
yeah.
have on your website lots of blog posts, details and tips and things. So tell people where they can find you and all your books online.
Right. So you can find me at social media, just for writers. com. And I have a free email-based social media course. And with that, you get a free ebook on Twitter. And then I sell my Pinterest ebook, I think, for $5. And there are links on my website to all my books on Amazon and elsewhere.
Fantastic. And all your social media links are on your website as well. Is there any one
yes.
particular one you like to be contacted on that you'd want to tell us?
Instagram.
Which is?
Francis Caballo underline.
Ah, there we go. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, look, thanks so much for your time, Francis. That was great.
Thank you. Thank you, Joanne. I really appreciate it.
So I hope you enjoyed today's show and got some ideas for your own social media positioning. Next week, I'm talking about writing conflict in crime fiction with Detective Adam Richardson from the Writers Detective Bureau podcast, which is a fascinating insight into the police and might also give you some story ideas. So happy writing, and I'll see you next time. Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You might also like the backlist episodes and show notes available at thecreativepen.com/podcast. You can also get your free author blueprint at thecreativepen.com/blueprint. If you'd like to connect, you can tweet me at thecreativepen or find me on Facebook at thecreativepen. See you next time.